Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I can't see from here, but does he? Are there six lines there? They are. Okay. Read 14. Okay. Puragrama Rajodhyana Kshetra Rama Shramakaran Keta Karvata Goshamscha Dadahu Patanani Cha. This is for 14 I'm doing. The translation. The demons set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, cow pens, gardens, agricultural fields, and natural forests. They burned the hermitages of the saintly persons, the important mines that produced valuable metals, the residential quarters of the agriculturists, the mountain villages, and the villages of the cow protectors, the cowherd men. They also burned the government capitals, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word Udyana refers to places where trees are especially grown to produce fruits and flowers, which are most important for human civilization. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya priyachati tad aham bhaktu paratam ashnami prayat atmana, which means, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Unquote. Fruits and flowers are very much pleasing to the Lord. If one wants to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can simply offer fruits and flowers, and the Lord will be pleased to accept them. Our only duty is to please the Supreme Godhead, Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. Whatever we do and whatever our occupation, our main purpose should be to please the Supreme Lord. All the paraphernalia mentioned in this verse is especially meant for the satisfaction of the Lord, not the satisfaction of one's senses. The government, indeed the entire society, should be structured in such a way that everyone can be trained to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, especially in this age, Nate Vidu Svarta Gatim Hi Vishnum, people do not know that the highest goal of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. On the contrary, like demons, they simply plan to kill Vishnu and be happy by sense gratification. We go now to text number 15. Kechit Kanatrai Bibidu Setu Prakara Gopuran Ajivyan Chichidu Vrikshan Kechit Parasu Pan, that's a hyphenated word, Parasu Panaya Pradhan Shravanani Eke Prajanam Shvalita Ulmukai Kechit kani trair bibidu. Setu prakara gopuran. Ajivyam chichidu rikshan. Kechit parashupanaya. Pradadan sharanan yeke. Prajanam jvalito mukai. Kechit kanitrar bibidu. Setu prakara gopuran. Ajivyam chichidur vrikshan. Kechit parashupanaya. Pradahan sharanan yeke. Prajanam jvalitol mukai. Kechit kanitrar bibidu. Setu prakara gopuran. Ajivyam chichidu rikshan. Kechit parashupanaya. Pradahan sharanan yeke. Prajanam jvalitol mukai. Please chant. Ladies, please. Somebody else wants to? Oh, I cut him off? My apologies. Sorry. Shows you how much I want to talk. You see, it's. Go ahead. Last line, please. Otherwise, I my offense will be total. Now, ladies, please. No one else? You want to try? Okay. Kechit. Some of the demons. Kanatrai. With digging instruments. Vibidu. Broke to pieces. Setu. Bridges. Prakara. Protective walls. Gopuran. City gates. Ajivyan. The source of livelihood. Chichidu. Cut down. Rikshan. Trees. Gechit. Some. Parasu. Panaya. Taking axes in hand. Pradahan. Burn down. Sharanani. The dwellings. AK. Other demons. Pajanam. Of the citizens. Jvalita. Blazing. Ulmulkai. With firebrands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls and the gates, the goparas, of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produced mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. Purport. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit are prominent. And in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruits, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is a Shastric injunction. Omagina timirandasya gananjana shalakaya shakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and my spiritual master. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and my spiritual master. What is the next line, please? Pardon? Opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Before beginning, I beg all the Vaishnavas to pray for me that I may say something beneficial and useful for all of us here, as I was called suddenly a few minutes ago to give the class in place of another devotee. So here we have a very fascinating, interesting situation. When Srila Prabhupada uses the word demon, we see it in all its glory here, if you want to call it glory. This is demon to the max, demon to the ultimate. We see what they're trying to do. The ultimate idea is to kill all the demigods and kill whom they think is the chief of demigods, Lord Vishnu. They don't even know that he's the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, what would be the point of trying to kill him? Hiranyakashipu wants to kill him. So, sacrificial offerings are made to demigods. Demigods, of course, worship the Supreme Lord and are the agents of the Supreme Lord. And the idea here is that if we can kill the demigods, then there'll be demigods are killed, the people are killed, there'll be no more sacrifices made to the demigods, and we don't have to worry about them anymore. It's a free country for us to do whatever we want. No competition, no antagonists, no problems. So they thought. They think it would be just so easy. That's all you have to do is just kill the demigods, even though they knew that the demigods are very dear to Lord Vishnu. But they have a short-term memory, or short memory. They figure, well, this time we'll get them. This time we'll kill them. So that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to destroy the Brahmins in the community, who offer, make the sacrifices, destroy the Kshatriyas, destroy the cow protectors, to destroy all evidences of the of human society here. Ultimately, so that Vishnu would not be satisfied. We know that the offerings that are made to the demigods are first offered by them before they can accept them to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He is their boss. So they offer to him, and then after he accepts them, blesses them, tastes them, he gives them to the demigods, and they in turn then accept them, take them, and whatever they may leave for the praja, for the citizens, that's for them to take. But the main point is that they delight in these different offerings. Often they are different food offerings, grain offerings, fruit offerings, and the like. So here again, we have the main idea is that they want to destroy the demigods. And by doing so, they feel that their problem will be solved. But that's not what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, those who are thus deluded are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So we see the difference between demon and demigod. Demons ultimately are defeated because they are opposed to the one who is even sustaining them. They don't have enough intelligence to understand that their own sustenance, their own life, their own desire, their own energy is being sustained by the Supreme Lord himself. They think that they are independent of Krishna, that they can function without Krishna. This is demoniac mentality. I'm independent. Everything that I accomplish is accomplished by my own endeavor. That's all. I make the effort, a result takes place. I'm the doer, I'm the accomplisher, I take the credit, I get the applause, I get the pride, I get the vanity, and all the other wonderful qualities and traits that lead to destruction and miseries. So that's demoniac mentality. Krishna mentions in the 16th chapter, he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims, attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Therefore, one should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be what? Elevated. That is the goal, to be elevated. But in order to do that, one has to follow the serious and very firm injunction of the Lord. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction. And in that way, you'll be freed from the bondage to work. So if we want to be freed from not only the bondage to work, now, Krishna is talking about bondage to work. The general public, when they go to work, generally it's a drudge. Oh, got it. Monday. What do they call it? Blue Monday? Is that what they call it? Blue Monday? Yeah. Because they were just enjoying like anything over the weekend. Drinking and carousing and watching the games and shouting and screaming and thising and thatting and having such a wonderful good time. And, oh, I got to go to work. Work is a drudge. They don't see it as an opportunity. They don't see it as a blessing. They don't see it as something beneficial. They see it as something interfering with their sense pleasure. They want to go on and on and on endlessly, enjoying, 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 which ultimately leads to depression, dejection. The more you have pleasure, it balances itself out. Sorry. Depression, dejection, melancholy. And so many of the other dark feelings and emotions which make a person feel that life is really abominable and miserable and force them, cause them to engage in some kind of activity which will give them some temporary thrill, such as taking some alcohol or taking some drugs, anything to get rid of this horrible feeling of the blahs. So, therefore, life is... And then when people go on vacation, you know, and they... I've noticed this when I used to work in the... They call the general workaday world. When people used to come back from their vacations, 2-week vacation, they needed a vacation then. Really. They didn't want to work. They were irritable. Excuse me, but can I bother? Leave me alone. You know, don't bother me. Sorry. Sorry. You know, the attitude was one of irritation, annoyance. I was a problem. It took them at least 2 weeks to recover from their 2-week vacation. So this was the this is the state of affairs. It's completely reverse of what it should be. It's a very interesting. I remember how many of you here saw the movie when you were a child called Pinocchio? Anybody? You all see it? Yeah, most of us are familiar. Let me just refresh your memory of that wonderful allegory. No, we're not going to play the film. So, if you remember, there was a part in the movie where there's a stagecoach which is passing by, and Pinocchio is standing on the road, and there's a whole bunch of boys on the stagecoach, and one of them is on top, and his name is Lampwick, if you remember. So Lampwick was a tough guy, and he said, "Hey, Pinocchio, come on up, come on, we're going to Playland, we're going to enjoy." So Pinocchio is wondering, you know, his fairy godmother has told him that he should obey his father, should not disobey him, and should not. And he's wondering. He says, "Come on, we'll have so much fun. There's amusement parks and candy and cigarettes and all the things that we're not supposed to do. That you know, hardly ever we get a chance." So he got on the stagecoach and they went to Pleasure Island. Of course, his little friend, his conscience, Jiminy Cricket, was on his shoulder. And he was saying, "No, Pinocchio, don't do it, don't do it." But Pinocchio, he went ahead. So they finally got to Playland. You know, they went over, they got into a boat, and they finally reached the place. And there was a big amusement park, and there was Ferris wheels, merry-go-rounds, and roller coasters. And then there was all this cotton candy. And then there was the kids were smoking cigars, and they were just having a ball. And they had those apples, you know, with the whipped cream on top of them, Charlotte Russes, and all those kind of, and the kids were just enjoying and enjoying and having so much fun. It's so wonderful. And then as Lampwick was with Pinocchio, he was smoking a cigar. And Pinocchio had, I think he had one in his hand also. He says, "Isn't this a great life? I mean, what do we have to go back to where we live? This is really living." But then Pinocchio noticed that Lampwick's ears were starting to grow higher and higher and higher. And they began to look like donkey ears. And then not only did he have donkey ears, ass ears, but his face began to look like that of an ass. And then his body turned into that of an ass. And Pinocchio says, "Lampwick, you're changing." And then Pinocchio looked around and he said all the friends that were in the stagecoach with him and that had been enjoying the Ferris wheel and all the other things, they all were walking around like donkeys. And they couldn't speak anymore. They kept saying, "Ah, ah, ah." So, and not only that, but they were rounded up. They were put inside a boat and they were sent off to Siberia to lug all sorts of things that they have in the Siberian mines. So they became real, true asses. Like who? Like what? So this is the story of our lives. We want to enjoy, And what happens is the more we enjoy, the more we become like an ass. It's a fact. And the more we become like an ass, the less we have discrimination as to what we should do, what we should not do, what we should practice, what we should not practice, and what we should think, what we should not think, and so forth. So eventually, of course, Pinocchio did become, his goal was to become a real boy, which is also an interesting allegory, because Pinocchio kept disobeying, he manifested bad qualities, but his fairy godmother, like the guru, was telling him, if you manifest good qualities, then you become a real boy, because he was a puppet. So what happened is when he got home, he found that his father was no longer there. He had been somehow swept, there was some kind of a cataclysm, and he was swept into the ocean, and his father was living inside a whale. So he said, my father is in a whale. Well, I'm going to rescue him. So to rescue him, he would have to take a boat, go out to the whale, and then he would have to get inside the whale and figure out some way to get the whale to open its mouth so that he could rescue his father. Of course, this required courage. It required determination. It had shown his respect for his father and a number of other very wonderful qualities that are necessary. In other words, it meant putting his own sense pleasure aside and putting the need of his father, and in this sense, the father, if we think of the father as the divine father's wishes or needs, if you want to call it that, in front. So that's what he did. He went out, he got into the whale, and he saw his father there, and he says, Father, we have to get you out because this is you'll die here. So anyway, he figured out a way to get the whale to open his mouth, and then the whale started coughing. They lit a fire. So when he lit the fire, the smoke made the whale start coughing. When he started coughing, he was able to get out. And so somehow he saved his father. They got back on the land. And who showed up after that but his fairy godmother? And she said, Pinocchio, you have shown all the nice, good qualities, and you deserve now not to be a puppet anymore, and in our sense, to be manipulated by the three modes of material nature. Instead of that, you will now become a real boy. And what is a real boy or real girl? A real boy or real girl is one who knows reality, one who knows the truth, one who knows that virtue is the way to go in order to achieve God realization, obeying the fairy godmother, who is in this case the guru. So that was the meaning behind it, is that we draw closer and closer to the reality, which is Krishna. We draw closer to him in bonds of love and bonds of devotion and bonds of dedication. The more we sacrifice, the more we give up, the more we dedicate ourselves, the more we not even think of our own importance, our own sense pleasure, our own false needs. So many false needs we have. So when we begin to put Krishna in the center of our lives, and we sacrifice, we may have to sacrifice time. We may have to sacrifice even our health. Sometimes that's necessary. We may have to sacrifice not only time and our health, but sometimes we may have to sacrifice other things which are important. For example, you may have to give up a meal. You may have to give up two meals one day because something is very urgent and it's needed, and it's something the guru wanted you to do. It's something that God desires. And so sometimes you have to sacrifice, forget eating. And I've seen many times devotees, I myself and so many, they didn't eat for two meals, three meals sometimes. And just they were so absorbed, so enwrapped, so involved in the pursuit of pleasing, satisfying. I remember the old days we would be on Sankirtan, especially in marathons, up to 10, 11, 12 o'clock. I still remember myself at the Fox Hill Malls with a stack of BTGs, yay high. And I was going around to every automobile window and sticking them inside the white window wipers. And so there are hundreds of people were coming out. Then I had a Santa Claus suit on that time. And then I walked into the May Company and with my Santa Claus suit. They had their own Santa Claus upstairs. They were wondering what one upstairs went downstairs. And I was just telling everybody, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I had my bucket there. Could you give something? Give something for the best cause you can ever imagine. People were throwing in money, so we got all the BTGs out. We got lots of Lakshmi in, and as a result, of course, it was very, not just because of what I did, but everyone had this wonderful mentality. The point was one of sacrifice. Without the feeling, without the sense, without the idea that I'm even sacrificing. Why is that? Because the Lord deserves it. Prabhupada deserves it. They made the foremost sacrifice. They endured our sinful activities when we defied the Lord. Before we even came to Krishna consciousness, we denied the Lord. We desecrated the Lord. We looked down upon God. We made fun or mocked people who were believers. At least I know I did. And as a result, but the Lord endured it all. Not only did he endure it, but somehow he inspired us from within to take to this path. And so, if we have offended, if we have hurt, if we have harmed, if we have kicked sand in the face of the Supreme Lord, and now we realize that he was so kind and so sweet and so generous and so loving and so magnanimous and has been helping us, don't we owe him our lives over and over again? Isn't the idea of sacrifice even nothing, inconsequential, insubstantial compared to what we really owe? We really owe an infinite number of lives, and even then we will be in arrears. Even then we will be in debt. Our debt is infinite. Our debt to Srila Prabhupada is infinite. And we have to remember that day in and day out. I'm not just doing this to please Prabhupada. I'm doing this because Srila Prabhupada, you did so much for me, and I'm just trying to do just as much as I do, it's a fraction compared to what you did for me. Therefore, please enable me. Please help me. I pray to you. I beg you. Help me to do even a little more than what I'm doing today so that I can perhaps please you more. Enable me to surrender to you more, to serve you more, to glorify you more, to pray to you more, to beg you more, to put myself completely at your disposal more. I beg this of you, my dear Lord, because you are my all in all. Without you, I am nothing. With you, in one sense, I am everything, because I am associated with the all. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'm 2 minutes over. With the permission of Archita, I would take one question. No permission? Huh? Oh, is there any question, comment, anything anyone would like to add? No? You sure? Got one more? You got 2 seconds more to make up your mind. That's it. Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna. Lots of keys going around today.
You must be good at that moment, are you?
Huh? No.
That's because she walks around with saffron.